going to take a one-day break in the series we're doing about the body of Christ. This will be about the body of Christ too, but emphasizing some additional evidence, I wouldn't call it proof, but evidence that showing who Paul was sent to before he was sent in the dispensation of the grace of God that we're in today. Before then, who was he sent to? And we'll get into that. But if you think back in the Old Testament, just as the Lord used Nebuchadnezzar for his purpose to chastise Israel for its unbelief at that time, and to send Israel back to rebuild Jerusalem, I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar's follower, not predecessor, what's the one that came after him. But in the same way as the Lord did use these secular nations to chastise Israel, so also the Lord used various means to deliver Paul during his grace remnant ministry. And you can see that in up a little higher in the text there, Romans 11, verse 5. And in during the time that it is called the work in the scripture, that's shown in Acts 13, verse 2, and other places, New and Old Testament. And that was the dispensation of, let me restate that, that was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, the work. And you can see that the last couple verses that I posted there, that it is a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. And looking at Romans 1:16, we can see that the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It wasn't yet to all people. It had that qualifier on it. So in Acts, if we can look in Acts 26:16, we're going to go ahead and start there. Paul tells of his early commission by Christ to the people and to the Gentiles. And, you know, if you read it that way, that's fine. That's the way it's to be read. But notice this early sending does not say to all the people, the Jews, and it doesn't say to all the Gentiles. So let's believe the wording as it's worded. Acts 26, verses 16 and 17 is the part that we were discussing there. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. In other words, here's why. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So he's sending Paul at that time. This is a restatement of what happened in Acts 9. At the time of Acts 9, he was sending him to the people and to the Gentiles that he was delivering him from, those specific Gentiles and people. Now, let's look at Paul and his later sending. Look in Acts 22, just to see the difference, so we know what we're talking about as we go through this. And thank you for posting the verses. Acts 22:17 through 21 tells about Paul's later sending, and he's recounting what happened back in Acts 18 in his extremely brief visit to Jerusalem. And that briefness, as stated in the text, how brief it is, that's the clue as to where it took place. Which one of his five visits back to Jerusalem did this take place, this temple vision? But he says, starting in verse 17 of Acts 22, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, So he's not on the road to Damascus. It's not at the time of his salvation, believing and being saved. He says, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Well, they... All right, let's go on with the text, and we'll comment after. But, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Like the Lord didn't know that, all that that went on. But verse 21, and he said unto me, depart. For I will, future tense, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So that sending now, he's saying that I'm going to tell you something here in this vision, in this revelation, that the Jews will not receive. You know, they'd received, they knew all about the Greeks, the Gentiles called Greeks that came to God under that... The covenant in Genesis 12, verse 3, the first part of that covenant, I will bless those that bless you, Israel. So, they were not Israel, and they did bless Israel. They came to the synagogues, did various things to help Israel, favored Israel. They brought their tithes to the offering plate in the synagogue, an important way that the apostate Jews that ran the synagogues would consider them blessing them. But if we look at the outcome of this later sending from the temple vision in Acts 18, not the one in Acts 9, but the one in Acts 18 where he said, I will send thee in the future from Acts 18, and as I speak of the one in Acts 18, it's the one we just read described in Acts 22. But the outcome of that, look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Okay. Hi, welcome to the room. I look like you were calling me for something. Let me just make sure you've got... hold on a second here. I'll send a PM with all the verses so that you got a little head start on them there. Did you get those, Sherry? Hope that came through. But we're going to go ahead here. So 2 Timothy 4:17 tells the outcome of that second sending. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So it took till this time for all the Gentiles to be sent to be targeted with the gospel. Not that he couldn't preach to them before, but it just wasn't the sending. It affected who Paul wrote to and what directions he gave those that he wrote. I mean, when he writes about head coverings, he's not telling you to wear a head covering. He was telling those in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, the Jews and the Jew first and also the Greek. He was telling them to cover their heads or not to cover their heads as a man or whatever. And the same, all those directions about foods to eat, not to eat, and what are some of the others? Baptism. Ceasing after a certain time when the Lord sent him not to baptize anymore, after he had baptized some, because that was the thing that was being done. But and I didn't finish that verse. Let me go on. In fact, I'll start over for continuity. 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord... This is on his, you know... the executioner is standing beside him, waiting to take him out and execute him at the end of his ministry. And he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. and we'll get to that later, as one of the deliverances, one of the five times delivered. But and I think it's verse 6 in this same chapter where he describes the fact that he was just about to go to the... I don't think it actually tells what the form of death was, execution was, or the gallows or the crucifixion, a cross or what. But that's 2 Timothy. Let's see if I can find that. 2 Timothy 4:6, is it? Yeah, here it is. He says that the time of his departure is at hand. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So just, it looks like 12 verses later, he talked about having been sent finally to all the Gentiles at that sending in Acts 18. But that's where he was told about it. It was a future. He said, I will send thee. And we'll see in Acts 20, he actually received that sending. But just before he received that sending, he wrote the book of Romans where he said he had received apostleship to all people. But and he wrote in that way. I mean, he talks about all having sinned and that, what is it, Romans 3:22, I think it, 3:22 talks about the grace of God, the righteousness of God being available to all people, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, not just to the Jews as before them, but to all people. That's Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. You see, that doesn't sound like most of his Acts period epistles. It's the last epistle before he's imprisoned and before he actually goes through this sending of Jesus Christ to all people. So, no longer. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8, and just read it to start off with. Be sober, be vigilant. This is Peter talking to Israelites here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I reference that verse because it tells that the devil is a roaring lion. And Paul had said, one of the last words he spoke there in 2 Timothy 4:17, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So there seems to be a connection there. There's a big difference in the two types of sendings. That early one we read about that happened in Acts 9, told about in Acts 26, and the later one, a present tense sending was that earlier one. He said, I now I send thee. In Acts 9, he says, now in Acts 9 here, I'm sending. He didn't say Acts 9, because it hadn't been divided into chapters or anything like that yet. But that was the time period when he was being sent. As we go through the history, with some consecutiveness, it's not exact. There are some places where, for instance, Acts 10 could have been at the same time as Acts 9. At the same time as Acts 7, even. I don't have any problem with saying it's consecutive and just goes straight through, stepping through. But it doesn't say that that's what it does. I mean, it could. They're unrelated events. They could have happened at the same time, or Cornelius could have even been before Paul's salvation that Cornelius met. Anyway, the later sending, you know, the early sending, he says, "Now I send thee," and the later sending, he's issuing a future from then sending. Ascending, he says, I will send thee. So they can't be the same sending. That's the point. Let's look at the times God delivered Paul in one way or another, and let's see from whom Paul was delivered so we can know to whom Paul was first Christ was first sending Paul. Because we can know that from what we read earlier, Acts 26, I'm trying to think of the exact verses, I think it's 16 and 17, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is the early sending now, in Acts 9, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So that tells us who he's now sending him to. The people and the Gentiles from whom he's going to deliver him. So we're tracing who those five incidents, who they were, to see if there's a pattern as to who Paul was sent to in that early sending, and who that leaves to be still sent to in his later sending. For Paul to be sent to by Jesus Christ is what I'm saying. First of all, let's explore Paul's witness at Damascus. After he got his salvation, saw Jesus in the way, and said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And again, like we said last night, you can just picture him standing there saying, "Why in the world am I not dead? If this is really Jesus, then I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. That's an unforgivable sin. Why aren't I dead?" And it says he was trembling and astonished. So, going into Acts 9:22, his time at Damascus there, shortly after he was saved, "But Saul increased the more in strength, and confronted the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So he talks to the Jews and tells them that Jesus is the Christ, the very thing that he opposed before. You know, he's saying, "This is a fraud, he's not Jesus." So verse 23, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." The Jews did. "But their laying wait was known of Paul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." Verse 25, Acts 9:25. "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." So in Acts 9:25, Paul was delivered from who? Who's it say? From the Jews. Those Jews that were in Acts 9:23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So that's the first deliverance. Secondly, let's see from whom Christ delivered Paul in Lystra, in Pisidian Antioch, and in Iconium. Those are in chapter 14 we'll look at. Acts 14:19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people." Now this is after Paul had preached, and they come from the city that Paul had preached at earlier, and they come tracking him down, and they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Well, in Jewish law, stoning, you must stone them until they're dead. I mean, they had to check that he was dead. So the people here is a reference to the Jews that he had just spoken to in the synagogue. And having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when, this is verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel in that city, and had taught many," boy, the tenacity, right? A good example of boldness in the Lord. "And had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch." confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven coming from heaven to earth. Not thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. This is God's eternal rulership in heaven that he's talking about. In the universe, not just in heaven. His kingdom, God's kingdom. without respect to all those promises that God made to Abraham and to his seed, to Israel, that God will rule on earth through a descendant of Abraham, Jesus Christ, well, David, and then Jesus Christ, without reference to that. This is talking about his eternal rulership, without any reference to Israel, pro or con. So, going on, Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And there's a reason why they ordained elders. You can find that reason defined in Acts. We're not going to go there. It's a different study. But Acts 20:28 defines why they needed elders. So, and what they were doing. Elders, you think of elders today, you've got, centuries, almost millenniums of people thinking that, well, the elders are supposed to be the bosses of the church, the leaders or whatever. That's just not stated in the scripture. There are to be leaders in the church, and that is stated in the scripture, at least three places. But they're not the elders. Elders are for a specific purpose at a specific time. And with that in mind, when you read 1 Timothy, it opens up an understanding about the ministry of women and various other things. But and again, why do you suppose that they when they prayed, they fasted? It has to do with the elders and what their duty was. Today are grumpy old people. Those on the listening on the recording. I saw the note in text. But anyway, in Acts 14:20, let me reread that again. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. In that verse, Paul was delivered from certain Jews, that were in 4:14, Acts 14:19, and I think I've got that quoted up here. Yeah, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. They didn't like what Paul was preaching when he was there preaching to them, and when he left, they followed him and stoned him. Not nice. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, which we'll get to here in this third one, the situation in Thessalonica. Let's turn to Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not... Now, this has a good start to it. In Acts 17, verses 1 through 4, you can see that when they got to Thessalonica, they found the synagogue of the Jews in verse 1. And Paul, it says, this is what his mode of operation was. This is the way he did things. His manner, it says. As his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days. That would be 3 Sabbath meetings, probably 3 hours total time. And reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And the next verse gives us what the definition is, what Paul is talking about when he says, or Luke is talking about when he says that Paul reasoned with them. It says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, there's the resurrection as we traced yesterday, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah, is Christ. So that's the gospel of God that we saw yesterday in Romans 1:1 through 4. Paul, as he reasoned with them, he would open the Bible and allege that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. The gospel of God. That's what he taught, as his manner was, when he would go to a city. Some believed. What do you think they believed? Did they believe what they didn't hear? It's not that they believed what they didn't hear. They did believe the gospel of God, but there's no salvation in the gospel of God. Paul was concerned about them because, as we'll read here, he got chased out of town. And he hadn't had a chance to teach those believers that Jesus is the Messiah. He hadn't had a chance to teach them that Christ died for your sins. He always preached the gospel of God first, as we traced through yesterday. So let's read this. Read these verses with that background in mind, starting in verse 5. But the let me see. Did I finish 4? Let me just read through 4, and then we'll get to 5. I see it's up there in text. That's good. And some of them believed and consorted. There's a key word, consorted. That's what one of the 6 or 7 things that the Bible records believers in Paul's gospel did. He didn't just desert them. He had these meetings. I don't see a name for the meetings in Scripture, so I just call them Paul's meetings to distinguish from the synagogue meetings. But they believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. We'll get into that. No, I better bring it up. When these people in the synagogues believed the gospel of God, some of them went on to believe the gospel of Christ that Paul would preach to them in Paul's meeting. But some of them, if you recall, Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11 tells what Israel's problem was when the Messiah came, why they didn't receive him. They did not believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. They didn't believe the gospel of God. And so when some of these Jews that didn't now do believe, it says in 1 Corinthians 7:18 that some people were called in circumcision. They were to be, they're not to try and be uncircumcision, it says. And those that were called in uncircumcision, like the Gentiles or the Greeks in the synagogues, they're not to try and be, what, Messianic Jews they would call them today, but they're not to try and be circumcision. Is any man called in called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. So there was still, in Acts 19, when 1 Corinthians was written, there was still a calling of God on Jews to individually receive the gospel of the kingdom. Now, it wasn't an immediate kingdom anymore, and not at hand. It was way out in the future, and in fact, it hasn't come yet. It was over, 1900 years yet to go, and we don't know how much more before the kingdom of heaven comes, or preceded by the body of Christ being caught up to be with the Lord. But you've got these two groups of people that both believed the gospel of God, but some went on to believe what they were called to believe. They were Jews and had been raised. They had been kept the commandments. They had been circumcised. They'd come to Sabbath meetings. Anytime they sinned, they would bring offerings. The whole works. They did everything except they hadn't believed that Jesus was the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, Messiah, risen from the dead. And now they do. So they're in the same position as those the regular believers in Acts 2 through 4, 5, back in there. That half of Paul's meeting was Jews that now believe, just like Lazarus, like Nicodemus, like Mary, Martha, people that were not the apostles but were the common believers. The other half, of course, when they heard the gospel of Christ, they believed that and they became part of the body of Christ, just like we do. Same body of Christ, even though it was back before the beginning of the dispensation of the gospel, dispensation of the grace of God. This was the dispensation of the gospel. If you want to substitute the word dispensing of the gospel, it gets past a barrier, I don't know what you would call it, idiomatic barrier. We think of a dispensation in a certain way. It's been taught as being a thing, whereas it's a dispensing of God's grace in a certain way. It's a certain manner that God was working or operating at that time. So, we got to verse 5. Let's go on with verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. So here's another clue. That's what we're looking for. Who are these people that Paul had to be delivered from? But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out unto the people. I think that's a loaded phrase there. Sought to bring them out to the people. They must not have been able to for some reason. Protected? I don't know. But it doesn't directly say right there. But let's go to verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Verse 7. Whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Verse 8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Verse 10, here's an important verse. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas. So they were still there somewhere, hiding or not found. Or the Lord blinded the people blinded them so they couldn't see them. I don't know. I'm not claiming there was a miracle that happened. But here they are back there where they had searched. And it says they immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, as his manner was, you could say, from verse 2. So, in Acts 17:10, that we just read, Paul was delivered from the Jews which believed not, in Acts 17:5. That's the third time delivered. And the conditions under which it was. Similar conditions to the other two. Let's go to the fourth time. Paul's temple vision, which we started out reading. Look in Acts 18:22, where it actually occurred in the timeline of Acts. Acts 18, verse 22. And he's come into Jerusalem. He comes in on a boat, ship, I don't know. And they land down, Caesarea is down toward the ocean, and the seaport is apparently called Caesarea, or the dock. And when they had landed at Caesarea and gone up, what does it mean to go up? They're climbing the hill up in elevation to Jerusalem. Gone up and saluted the church. That's the whole details that Luke gives about that visit. It was a three-word visit, a brief visit. When they had gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. He got out of there in a hurry, as the Lord told him to, for they would not receive his testimony of what the Lord revealed. And we'll find out a proof. That'll be one thing later that we find out what happens, that they didn't. They continued to not receive it. But anyway, we'll get to that in a few minutes. Look at Paul's later description that we looked at before, but look at it with this in mind. Description of this temple vision. When he went there on that brief visit in Acts 18:22. So we're looking at Acts 22:17 through 21 to see the description that Luke gives of that temple vision visit. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Let me just read three verses here, leaving out 19 and 20, which are Paul's excuses, and just read what the Lord says to Paul. Okay, start. So I'm going to read verse 17, 18, and 21 in sequence. Here we go. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Very singular and a singular order, a singular information message that the Lord gives Paul there. All says it's only one thing that he's telling, that we're being told, that Paul was being told, get out of there. Because what I'm telling you, so he must have told them whatever that testimony concerning me is. He must have told them something that would be abhorrent to those in Jerusalem. And we'll see that that's the case later on as we get down further in the study here. So in Acts 22:18 and 22:21, the second and third of the three verses we just read, Christ himself delivered Paul by telling him to get thee quickly out of Jerusalem and to depart, in verse 21, depart. And in that way, Paul was delivered from they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. They were the Jews in Jerusalem. Again, the Jews. Okay, fifth time. This will be the fifth deliverance that we're going to talk about here now. Leaving Ephesus, Paul went through Macedonia to Greece. And you can see that in Acts 20. So we're going to look at Acts 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we'll get to more of it after a while. But those three to start with. After the uproar was ceased, this was in Ephesus, when he was leaving Ephesus after the idol makers, made a problem for a riot, actually. Anyway, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So, if you get the picture here, He left Ephesus on the right side of that bay, I guess you call it, or sea. I don't remember what that body of water is. But then, you can either go up across that little gap in what is now Turkey, and then come down in on the left side of that body of water to Macedonia, or you can sail across. But it says here, he embraced them, departed for to go into Macedonia. So that would be to the left, into what we would call part of Europe. Verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts, in other words, those cities there in Macedonia, and I don't remember, it would be Philippi, Thessalonia, or Thessalonica, Neapolis, I think, is mentioned in that area. And I think that's all I can think of in that area. But then he goes on further on down south. It says, when he had gone over those parts and given much exhortation, he came into Greece. Greece, or Acadia? I forget the name. Anyway, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And that's when it's pretty certain that that's when Paul wrote Romans, the book of Romans, in those 3 months that he was there idle. Not idle, but as he was there a while, it says, let me read verse 3 again. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria. So he, you know, had plans to sail from Athens there, or from Greece, and go across to Syria, near where that probably either the same Caesarea or just north of there, to exit the boat and get on land to go to Jerusalem. He was going back to Jerusalem. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, leave Athens to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, in other words, to backtrack north again to go up to Macedonia to lose these guys that were trying to kill him. And so in Acts 20 verse 3, when he goes back up through Macedonia, Paul was delivered from those Jews that were laying wait to kill him on the way to the boat, or at the boat when he would load at the harbor there at the docks in Athens, or in Greece. I don't think it actually says Athens, but that's, you know, the major city that was in that area. One of them, anyway. So as he purposed to return through Macedonia, that was his deliverance, getting away from those guys that was going to kill him. It was the Jews again that didn't like his message. So that was 5 times that Paul was delivered from the Jews that we've gone through so far. And according to Acts 26, verses 16 and 17, that means it was to the Jews that Christ sent Paul in his first sending. Paul's later, all men sending, was when he was delivered from this world. I'm trying to think what that verse was that we read to start off with. Delivered from the mouth of the lion, I think it is the term there. But anyway, look at Philippians. We're going to trace some other stuff here. We've got a few minutes. Philippians 4:15. And just a second, let me get a sip here. And then we're going to look after that, we'll look at Acts 20 verse 6. So first going to Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, very telling clause there, are two clauses. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So, the truth that we're looking for out of that verse is, when did he depart from Macedonia that would be the beginning of a gospel? What gospel began at some point in Acts when he departed from Macedonia? Well, give me a second here. 16, before we go to the verse I said we'd go to, let me just post this one because it explains it, kind of. And from thence to, telling his journey here, and he says, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So, it tells us that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And we're looking for the time when Paul said, the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So if you look in Acts 20, verse 6, we'll read Acts chapter 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi. That's like saying we sailed away from Houston. Well, from Houston, Texas. We sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So, what it's saying here is that it was Acts 20, verse 6, that Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, and when I departed from Macedonia, according to Philippians 4:15, was the beginning of the gospel. What gospel? Well, it couldn't have been the gospel of the kingdom. That was preached Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It couldn't have been the gospel of God. That was what Paul was separated to in Acts 9. It couldn't have been the gospel of Christ, because that's what Paul was saved by in Acts 9. That's what he preached in Acts 13 and onward. That's what those people in Corinth, there in Acts 18, verses 6, 7, and 8, 9, in through there, what they believed, came out of the synagogue, went to the far side of the wall, to the building joining the synagogue. Built hard against the synagogue. That's the gospel that they believed and were saved. It talks about them being, I don't know if it used the word saved, but it said they were baptized. So it's not just a mental assent as to who Jesus is, the gospel of God. It was the gospel of Christ. Well, then what gospel could have started in Acts 20, verse 6, when we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread? Look at Acts 21, verse 27. And when the 7 days, this is a different 7 days, I think. Maybe not. No, let me just see here. I think that is the same. Hold on. I don't want to leave a question mark here. Hold on, I'm just pulling up the what do you call it? Context. 21, and that's what, 27? Dead air. I'm going back. Took up our carriages, went to Jerusalem, and went certain Caesareas, touching the Gentiles, believe it. No, I don't think that's... No, this was 7 days of purifying himself when he had gone to James, and James said, see how many thousands of Jews there are in Acts 20, 21, I think it is, verse 20. And they're all zealous of the law. The law was still in effect for those Jews. And he was supposed to shave his head or something, take a vow and go into the temple with these other men that were doing the same thing. And it says when the 7 days were... So it's a different 7 days is what we come down to here. It's not the 7 days at the end of Acts 20, verse 6. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. That's a different 7 days. But regarding this verse, it says when the 7 days were almost done and he had done his vow in the temple or whatever, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. And so they took him into custody. The police came and took him into custody. And we have this recounting of his later sending. And we see here, you know, he's telling the Jews what happened in his temple vision. And he says, let me just read 18 and 21. This is in Acts 22, verse 18. And saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Verse 22, Look what happens. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. When they heard what the testimony of the Lord was to Paul, what Paul is testifying that the Lord had said, they wanted to kill him. And that's exactly what the Lord had told him in Acts 18, verse 20, when he received this temple vision that he's reciting here in Acts 22. So, going on to the next verse, it's not fit that he should live. Verse 23, and as they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. They're going about to stone Paul. So, in 2 Timothy, the soldiers come and rescue him. But he marches, you know, the rest of Acts is pretty much a fast track to where, until when you get to Acts 28, he's in house arrest there in Rome, and the Israelites, the chief Israelites, get their last chance to become part of the remnant according to the election of grace. And then he says the gospel is going only to all people, not to any specific people. Jews, you're Loama, you're not God's people anymore. God won't be your God unless you come as a sinner like we have to come, following the way Paul came, that new pattern. So Paul again, and let's read it again at 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles, that's much different than that first sending where he sent to the people and the Gentiles from whom the Lord would deliver him. But here it says that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. No evil in heaven, that's on earth. Shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Not kingdom from heaven, but the kingdom in heaven. And to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that was pretty much his last words. In Acts, Paul was delivered from the Jews five times. After the end of Acts, all men forsook him. And when Paul was delivered from this life, that was the result. The Lord delivered Paul, preserving him unto his heavenly kingdom, taking him to heaven. That was his execution on earth. I mean, viewed as his execution, but that was the Lord preserving him unto his heavenly kingdom. So, in Acts 9, at the time of Paul's salvation, there, what I would say, Acts 9, verse 6, according to Paul's testimony before King Agrippa, later on, that would be Acts 26, I think it was, Christ had sent Paul to the apostate Jews as well as to the Greeks that were not a people. They were not a people. That's in Deuteronomy 32:21, I believe. Deuteronomy 31:22, where the Greeks are prophesied. The Greeks are not the mystery. The gospel was the mystery, that we would be saved by simply believing that Christ died for my sins. My sins are all paid for by Jesus Christ dying my death on Calvary. Peter preached that Christ died and that he died for sins, but he didn't say you access that and appropriate that by simply believing that he did it for you. No, they were still under the law. They had works involved with their salvation, with their admittance to salvation, with their access to salvation. The salvation was provided by God. I mean, they didn't earn their salvation. They didn't deserve their salvation, but there were works required. Confession, Romans 10:9-10, confession was required. There's a good phrase. You know, a promise. They received a promise of salvation. That's not the verse, is it? No, Deuteronomy 32:21 is what I was thinking it was. Let me just look at that real quickly here. I opened my mouth too fast here. Let's see. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. That's the Greeks, not a people. They're not nationally Greeks. They weren't born in Greece, didn't have any Greek citizenship. They're called a Greek because they seek after the wisdom of God. They bless Israel in doing that. So, not a people. And furthermore, he says, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That's the little flock. The little flock was prophesied, not a mystery. It was prophesied. Right there in Deuteronomy 32:21. So, according to Paul's testimony in Acts 26, before King Agrippa, talking about his conversion and salvation. I don't like the term conversion because it means several things, but his salvation in Acts 9, Christ had sent Paul to the apostate Jews as well as the Greeks that were not a people, but that they knew they needed to bless Israel to be blessed by God, but they did not yet know that Jesus of Mary was that prophesied Messiah that they had been waiting on. So Paul was sent to preach the gospel of God to them so they would know. And that's the meaning of Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them, all that call upon him. Well, that's what they were doing. They were calling on the Lord to bless them on the basis of Genesis 12:3. Those Greeks came to the synagogue. Before Paul's salvation, there is no other way to come to God other than coming through Israel's doctrine, Israel's gospel, believing that Jesus was the Christ. All at that time in Israel's history, before Paul's salvation, all that call upon him, the Lord was rich unto all of them. And we talked yesterday about the phrase that all that believe on the Lord shall be delivered or saved. That came a direct quote out of Joel 2:28-32, when Joel is prophesying about the great tribulation, or the tribulation period, at least Jacob's trouble, that was yet coming for Israel. And those people, if they would call upon the Lord, they would be saved, delivered from it somehow, either through death, that they were told that they had to die to be born again into the kingdom, or I don't know all the different ins and outs of that, but in Israel's kingdom program, anybody, Jew or Gentile, could follow God's requirements to become right with God. Whether they were Jews, whether they were Greeks, or, you know, the Greeks were the ones seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God in Israel's doctrine. The ones that didn't seek it were the heathen, were the aliens from Israel. Now, I hesitate to call them a different type of Gentile, because they put themselves under the conditions they were under. Either they chose to believe Israel was God's way of working in the world today, at that time, and chose to bless Israel on that basis, and became Greeks then, what is called Greeks, or devout persons. I think it was mentioned in the text, devout persons or devout Greeks. Or they chose not to believe that God was working in the world. They didn't care if he was, and they were still apart from Israel, from God's working in the world. They were aliens. Either one of those two types of, conditions of Gentiles.
And they were that conditioned by their choice. It wasn't, you know, some were born with curly hair and some with straight hair, and they couldn't, you know, that's the type they were. They were that type of Gentile because they chose to be, either to bless Israel or to stay away from Israel. So, if you compare Jew and Greek in Romans 1:16 with the Jew and Greek in Acts 26:16-17, let's do that. Let's see. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To whom? Whose salvation? To everyone that believeth. That's one to whom. To the other one is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So those two qualifiers are you have to believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for my sins and rose for my justification. And you have to be one that it was sent to. It was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How else would you hear if Paul is not yet sent to preach to you, to alien Gentiles? Going over to Acts 26:16, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's not sending them, Paul, just to the Gentiles, but to the people and the Gentiles that he has to deliver him from, or that he does deliver him from, in that verse 17 there. So the ones Christ delivered Paul from equal the Jews and the Greeks that the gospel of Christ was sent to, the ones that Christ had to deliver Paul from. And I'm done for today. That's all I've got on that. I think we tried to trace the five different times that Paul was delivered and who he was delivered from, and the time after the end of Acts, actually. Was it the end? No, it was the time after he was sent to all people that he, you know, was arrested. He wasn't delivered until he was delivered from this world unto the heavenly kingdom.